Mankind was born into sin, but mankind does not have to remain in his sin. You can't just confess and think you're saved. You have to believe in your heart. Good works don't get us saved. Neither do good works maintain our salvation. But because we have been saved, we have been called to do good works and walk in them.
Well, my friends, that's my very good friend, Dr. Fred Price Jr., who is going to be with me tonight on stage here at Open Door Church. It is Wednesday. It is June 17th. It is 6:17, and you guys will remember that Ephesians 6:17 says, "Therefore, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And guys, that's what we're doing here today, is we're holding everything up against against God's Word and finding the truth that sets people free. Guys, I want to welcome everybody. Amen. I call y'all blessed. Troy Brewer here coming at you strong. Welcome, guys, to The Pulse, episode number 156. And I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Guys, today we're going to be looking at some cultural events, and we're going to be going through some videos, and I'm going to react to them, including some messages that I preach. My good friend, what's his name?
Martin Cedric.
He's going to be here on this coming Sunday, and I got some cool videos of him as well, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And also, too, I got some incredible updates about a 19-year-old girl that we rescued last week that we just got placed. I'm going to tell you about that. Ben and Brandy and my grandchildren are coming back from Mexico City after having danced with 153 girls at their quinceañera celebration. And I got some cool pictures to show you from that. And like, what are you talking about? Like, why would a church and a ministry that rescues kids, why would they put together a big dance? Well, it's a cultural rite of passage for Mexican girls. And it's a big shame to them if they don't have a daddy or a family that actually does that for them. And so we did that, and we're going to be talking about it. How are you doing, Miss Shay?
I'm so good. We've already had a busy day today, busy week. Yesterday,
can I just
was
do
so
some
fun.
Music for the cool shirt you're wearing today?
Yes. Here we go. Me. I'm waiting
would
for you to
would y'all
me.
Put the camera on her, please?
Oh, my God.
Da 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 da
da
da da da da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da She wears fun, happy clothes. So now when I'm shopping, if I see something that's happy or fun and I'm just drawn to it, you know what? I'm going to get it. It's okay.
Yeah. Leanna is classy. Leanna is cool. Mm-hmm. But she likes to do her hair like she's Jan Crouch, and she likes to dress like she's Cindy Lauper.
I love that. I mean, I grew up listening to Cindy Lauper, so I think that's why I connect with Pastor Leanna.
I was like, gosh, Leanna, she's a hoot.
She wears fun clothes, happy clothes.
She does. And she's a happy girl. And today is her birthday.
I know. Pastor Leanna's birthday. So happy birthday, Pastor Leanna. We love you so much. I'm wearing this in honor of you.
You know what I told her this morning? I know I already told you I told her this. I've been telling her this every year for 37 years, depending upon what age she is. And she doesn't mind me telling you that she's 58 years old today. We have been together for 40 years. And I told her this morning, I said, come over here and kiss me. I haven't kissed a 58-year-old woman since I was 16. She's like, yeah, she knows what I'm going to say. I say that every single birthday.
That's so funny.
She thinks I'm funny.
Yeah.
I'm glad she thinks I'm funny.
That's hilarious.
We had a beautiful time this morning on the back porch, and there was deer in our backyard, and there were some baby deers in our backyard, and a whole bunch of red birds. And we had our prayer time, and we did our Bible study, and it was beautiful. She made me great coffee. The Brewer Blend coffee, which is mine and Leanna's blend, and we sell it, and it's one of the ways that we fund our ministries, and it's really cool. So, yeah, man, I just love that.
Awesome. It's a good day.
Christy Morris says, I love that Shay. I just love that Shay. Yeah. Don't you just love
that
Shay?
I
think the same thing when shopping. I love her happy clothes.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I appreciate
Christy
that.
Christy Morris, you know what? We're going to send you something. Christy Morris, call us and give us your address, and we'll send you something. Okay? So remind me to tell Tia that.
Yeah.
We'll send her a book, or we'll send her something cool because she was nice to you.
I love that.
After I insulted you.
It's okay. No, I know that you do this
because
you love people.
Because I love you.
Yeah. You love us.
And that's
if you're not making fun of us, then that means you're not quite sure about us. So we know. It's okay.
Somebody else says, the whole crew is funny. Now, I am funny. And today I'm going to prove it.
Today I'm going to prove it.
Yeah, and I see Aaron is here all the way from big time Cleburne, Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's people here from lots and lots of different countries.
Yeah.
So Miss Rebecca Tamayo.
We have, you didn't make fun of me, yes. We
she
have
brings South the class, Africa. By the way. She's the classy one.
We have South Africa in the house. We have Canada, Jim from Canada. We have Liz from South Africa. We have Vermont in the house, Michelle. We have Arkansas in the house. We have Daryl from South Carolina. We have Mark from I was going to say Mesquite, which is not a city. It's Mesquite.
Yeah,
right?
Just plain old Mesquite.
Plain old Mesquite. And we have Chen from Branson, Missouri.
Mesquite is in the house,
straight
man.
Into the, hallelujah.
Yeah,
into
you just
the country
went straight
I love
into
it.
Your Spanish mode.
Exactly. Hallelujah. Yeah, we are just so happy and we're so excited. Everybody's tuning in.
Emily from London, Ontario is here.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that Emily that I know? If it is, hi. Good to see you.
Don't you wish you were dressed better now that you have old friends that are joining in?
Is it really Emily?
Do you know Emily? How do you know her?
I think so.
Yeah.
So her and her husband, they're Messianic Jews and they do a lot of work in London, Ontario. My best friend from London, Ontario, Lindsay, the makeup artist.
I keep forgetting you have friends. It's amazing.
Oh my gosh, that's really funny. Now I'm waiting to see if that's Emily. But anyway,
it is her. Everybody say hello to Emily. Just say hello.
Hi, Emily.
Hello, Emily.
And we call you blessed. We call you blessed in Jesus' name. Welcomes. Right on. Well, so what else we want to tell everybody before we get off into this?
Don't forget to comment and share. Don't forget to send us your favorite emoji, letting us where you're tuning in.
Yeah, Teresa, I did get my prayer cloths. We got them. So, Teresa, yes. I need to send you something because you sent me a whole bunch. And I didn't know that you'd actually stitch those things together, which is really cool.
Very nice.
I've got bad allergies, and I promise I will not blow my nose into any of those things. You worked so hard on it, and they're beautiful. And I was like, man, these are really cool. These are really awesome. So I think what I'll do is whenever I send out my swag boxes, when people order stuff, man, we will all pray over them. Okay. I promise you, we will all pray over them, and I'll send you some of those things.
Amazing.
Yeah, I love that. And then, of course, Deborah from England is here.
Wow.
Hey, Deb, how are you? I call you blessed. Yeah, welcome. So good.
Amazing. So don't forget to comment. Don't forget to share. That is one way you're able to be a media missionary. And again, if it's your first time, please let us know in the comments, hey, it's my first time tuning in, or hey, I just became a stage 2, stage 3, or a lifetime. We want to give you a shout out. And don't forget that you can call us at any time at 877-413-0888. And we have a 24/7 prayer line. We want to remind you guys, there are real people. They're not robots. They're not just computers. It's actually people, prayer warriors waiting to pick up the phone and pray with you. And yeah, we have multiple people tuning in.
Well, okay. So Terry Strabella, she's a girl in Arkansas.
Oh,
and by the way,
I
didn't know you guys even had electricity.
I knew you were going to go there.
That's amazing.
I knew it.
Like, it's amazing. You're on the web.
Extra
I was actually
today.
Saved in Arkansas. I'm a huge Arkansas fan. I love me some Arkansas. I was saved just north of Hot Springs on Highway 7 at Christians Ministries Church. And that was where I first had my first encounter with King Jesus when I was 19 years old, and it was awesome. And so I've always had this this thing with Arkansas. I love Arkansas. But she just joined stage 3.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so she is now stage 3. Hey, thank you for that. Way to go, man. So let us know where you're watching from, and we'll keep on giving you guys shout-outs. And then also, too, ODX shout-outts. We have some new Lifetime ones. Why don't you help me out with these?
Yeah. Let's give a shout out to our new Lifetime members. Let me get to that on here.
Dane from North Carolina.
Dane from North Carolina. We got Melanie from New Jersey. Thank you so much for being a Lifetime member at ODX.TV. That is so incredible.
I love it.
And Lord knows what we're going to cook up in the next month, let alone year from now, 2 years from now. It'll be so cool to see.
I mean, someday you're going to put together an ODX gathering.
Sometime within the next five or ten months. Okay,
we're meeting this week.
Thank you.
Can we get a violin sound with Pastor Troy?
Come on,
like a sad.
We got to do this. Listen, our goal is to do that. Our goal is to do that every quarter. Thank you. Listen. Thank you. I'm trying to get her to organize an ODX.
But
there's a bunch of people involved in it, and it's very difficult to do because my schedule is so whack.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And
you're so busy.
I know, and I'm trying not to be. I'm trying so hard. I promise
you. It's
okay.
We got lots that we're doing for the kingdom. So.
Yeah, we do. And praise God. We're about to give a whole bunch of updates. You guys get ready to shout and get ready. Might even, your old, your old eye holes might start leaking here.
It might leak. Yeah.
Because I want to show you some cool pictures and tell you some cool things.
Yes.
But we also have two new state. We have 16
yes.
new stage two people.
Wow. Yep.
Which is nuts, including Amy in Missouri and Lydia in Michigan and Daisy in Hawaii.
Yes.
Wow.
Come
awesome.
On, man. There Where to go. Go? And then we have two new stage three people, Lorraine and Angela, and now Terry has wow. just signed up for stage three.
Hello.
And so, man, we're just so grateful, awesome. Guys.
Yeah.
And then we also have
our
the YouTube
members. That's yes. where I was going. Okay, so, guys, go. We have been... if you are a member on our YouTube channel, so we've got a bunch of subscribers and we love you guys and we're so grateful for you. But I want to encourage you right now, if you're not a member on our YouTube page, to join and become a member, because we have really upped what we've been doing for our YouTube members only community. We basically just go behind the scenes whenever Pastor Troy has an interview or a shoot. And it's really fun. Rebecca kind of gave mm-hmm. a behind the scenes look at our shoot yesterday with Pastor Fred Price Jr.
So
on
good.
Set. It's a brand new series that we're starting. So if you are a YouTube member, you got first access look at that. And you just get to see more of the real, what happens before we get to this point, before we're on camera. We'll have to do one, Rebecca, when we're getting Pastor Troy
Let's
ready.
Do that. That would
Next
be very
week
fun.
When we're mm-hmm. getting you ready, Pastor Troy, we'll have to do a members only stream. So guys, join us over there. It's a lot of fun. Definitely an up close and personal look at
YouTube.
What goes on behind the scenes. So on YouTube, become a member on YouTube, join the members only community there within our page. And it's a lot of fun.
Yes. Oh. Anna Marie, we will share the different stages on here right now.
Yeah. Thank I'm you for do doing that. That. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Pitts, I want you to back up to Jimmy Pitts here, that knucklehead. Jimmy Pitts. So Jimmy Pitts, country strong. And by the way, he is strong. He's never put on deodorant in his life. And I can
oh
tell you that
God.
From going to school with him.
Sure.
He actually says, I thought your first encounter with King Jesus was from your moonshining days whenever the dope dealers chunked you off the bridge into the Brazos River. Well, he saved my life, but I was still not interested in him. The first thing I thought when wow. I got thrown off that bridge, they tried to murder me. I was 18 years old.
Holy.
And the first thing I thought when I came up out of the water is, wow, a miracle just happened. I lived. And then the second thing I thought is, I'm going to kill those sons of gun that just threw me off. And it took me a while to get the devil out of me. But mm-hmm. that was in November, I think, of 1985, and I got saved in May of 1986, and that's
wow.
how all of that went down. So praise the Lord.
Wow, that's
yeah,
cool.
God is that good. Is. Okay, well, we got lots of things to talk to you cats about,
yeah.
and there's guys. I got good news, and I am going to look at all these people. Blessings, Jimmy. Yeah, he needs it. You guys, pray for the brother. Okay, Jimmy's a childhood friend of mine. I have a lot of guys that are pushing, you know, I mean, he's older than I am. He's like in his 70s, I think, something like that. He's like way older than me. Actually, I think he's probably 60, probably, and I'm 59. And so, but I have a lot of friends that are my age now that we were all friends when we were little bitty guys.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah, because
you have a lot of people in your life
like
that.
It was
like
a small town. This used to be the country. Of course, it's not anymore. It's just all mm-hmm. good God. I hope the last Californian turns out the lights as they come moving in here.
Read Jess's comment there.
Yeah, what does it say? Where is it?
Definitely Jesse? Signed up for ODX instead of Netflix.
Oh, wow.
I call it ODX and chill.
That's
instead
awesome.
Of Netflix and chill. Way that's awesome.
Thanks. Thank you so much
that's
for that.
Cool.
Well, guys, we're adding new content all the time.
Yeah,
including. He says he's 63. Hey, man, why aren't you on Social Security, you old fart? Why aren't you? You should be on Social Security. Like, why are you not on Social Security?
Oh,
probably because he's like, I never want to pay into that. Well, you ought to be on Social Security. I promise you, the day I turn 62, I'm getting on it. I'm not going to mess. I don't know. I've done the math on it. And, yeah, I mean, I'm almost Social Security age. Can you girls believe that?
No. That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. Oh, I promise you, they owe me big. A lot of money. And I'm getting every bit of it.
They owe me big.
A lot of people, they're like, I think it's.
Yeah,
he said, yeah, I am on it. Oh, my friends. You know, man, sometimes, you know, man, I just start reminiscing about some girl I used to date in high school, and then I wonder where she's at these days, wonder whatever happened. Then I realize she's in an old folks home. I'm like, I just go down the old folks home. Just go see her.
Oh, my gosh.
It's crazy.
But didn't you start dating Pastor Leanna when you were 18? So
I've been dating her since. We've been together for 40 years. Yeah, for 40 years. And she just is just. You girls know how I talk about her every day.
Yeah.
She's dang impressive, man.
Yeah.
I promise you. She is. There's nobody like Leanna. There's nobody like her. And there's nobody more perfect for me than Leanna. She is just. Every day I just go, man, I'm just so happy I'm married to you. And she tells me that every single day. I'm so glad we're married. After 40 years.
Wow.
I mean, that's a big deal, man.
That's a really big deal. Mm-hmm.
That's a really big
deal. That you guys are still so in love. And you are. Like, literally, you don't just talk about her like this, but like the second you see her walking through the building, it's like, we all know, all right, give him time.
Yeah, give me a few minutes.
I mean, seriously, she's also so beautiful.
Look at her. Just look at this picture,
Pastor
guys.
Look at Pastor Leanna, guys.
So we've been doing videos for Vacation Bible School. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she truly is a princess. And today is her birthday.
She's gorgeous.
Yep. Today's her birthday. She's a good girl, I promise you. Oh, Robin Lee Day, she says, I'm 62. Robin Lee.
There you go.
Man, Robin, are you really 62 years old? I thought you were younger than me, man. She's such a pretty lady. And by the way, guys, she's single. Y'all need to know that about Robin Lee Day. Right on. She's single.
Suwanami's from in Mexico.
Suwanami. Suwanami. Hola, Suwanami. Hola, Suwanami.
Hola, amiga.
Dios te bendiga. I bless you in Jesus' name. Okay, right on.
Do your best Suwanami impression, quick.
Oh, my God. Okay, so speaking of Pastor Suwanami, she's got kind of a train wreck of a name.
You're on a roll today.
Actually, no, her name, and we looked it up in Hebrew. Remember when we went to the Bible Museum?
It was crazy.
It means her name actually in Hebrew means a gift to the nations.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And that's what she is.
Yeah.
She is a gift to the nation. She's my national ambassador, my international ambassador for Troy Brewer Ministries and for Answer International. And yesterday, she put on this deal, and we hooked up with what you and I here would call the mayor. Okay, they're much more than a mayor because they have a huge area. But in Toluca?
Toluca.
So with a K on the end of it, right? Toluca. Or is it Toluca?
T-O-L-U-C-A.
Okay, so Toluca.
Toluca.
They are literally calling Ben the godfather of Toluca because we rounded up all of these girls that have been rescued, and we also rounded up some special needs girls that are in the same homes as our rescued girls, and all the ones that are about to turn 15, we had a giant quinceañera party for them yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
My son and my daughter-in-law, Brandy, and my two grandboys, they went on a missions trip down there, and they had to do the father-daughter dance with 153 girls.
Wow.
Now, that number is so prophetic, ladies, because that's the number of fish in the net, 153, which is crazy. And that's also the number of people that Jesus leads into the kingdom in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
It's crazy.
The last one being the thief on the cross.
That's crazy.
He's the 153rd, same number as fish in the net. I mean, Jesus knew how many would be in the Bible before the Bible was even written. And, of course, he did many more miracles than that, and he certainly, I mean, he led all three of us into the kingdom. He even led old Taylor, even though Taylor don't go to church.
No!
He even led him in.
Really,
I was just asking, how do you deal with that condemnation? I mean, what's that like? I can't imagine the shame. Anyway, Taylor goes to church. He just doesn't go to our church. And
it's
that's
okay.
Fine.
We love
it's
him
It's not
still.
Treason, I promise it's you. You can work for me and not go to our church. Mm-hmm. A lot of pastors aren't like that. My oldest daughter, Megan, doesn't even go to my church. She goes to First Baptist in Glenrose.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah. I tell my kids growing up, I said, guys, and I mean, they're hardcore into their church, and they love their church, and their girls are a great big part of it. And I mean, she's a Glenrose girl, and she likes going to church in Glenrose. And she's a soccer mom and all the things, right? And all the soccer moms all go there. So she's got a good community there, and it's a really good church. There are really good people that go to church there. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's not as cool as my church.
Nope. But, you know, I've had people ask me, literally straight up ask me, what does Pastor say if you go visit another church or if you go to another church?
I don't care.
He doesn't care. That's not how he leads.
I go visit churches all the time.
Yeah, that's not how he leads.
That's not how I lead. I'm not going to make you go to church.
It's sad that that's like even a thing that people assume that.
Well, people got all these weird rules, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Here's no, if you work for me, you're all the way in.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And there's no question.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, Taylor lives a godly life. He's a godly young man. He loves Jesus with all of his heart. He's been in full-time ministry his whole adult life.
Yeah.
He's a kingdom guy. Mm-hmm. He helps us tremendously. I mean, I don't care if he goes to church here or not. I mean, if he wants to go to some lame church, I mean, that's up to him. And honestly, so I don't care. I tell my kids growing up, and they'll verify this.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, you will go to church every time the doors are open because you live in my house. But when the day comes and you're an adult, it is not treason against me if you don't go to my church. You will be a Christian.
Yeah.
And you're going to love King Jesus, but it's not going to be treason against me. Right. You don't gotta go to our church for us to be family. That's stupid. Why would I draw the line for something like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now again, I question your sanity. Certainly your taste. If you decide to go somewhere else.
Yes.
But no, somebody brought me some homemade Mustang grape jelly to church a few months ago. Do you remember? Yeah, I do. I do. I do remember that, and I'm very grateful. And I ate your jelly with my biscuits and gravy.
Wow. Yum. Oh, I sure did. For some biscuits,
and it was good. I love biscuits and gravy, and I love it with grape jelly. I love that. So hallelujah.
All right. Well, hallelujah.
Let's give everybody, there's no telling where all this is going to go today, but it's going to be fun, and you're going to like every minute of it. All right, let's show some pictures. This is our Kensietta we had yesterday.
Yes.
And this is my boy Ben in a suit.
Look at him.
With some beautiful little girl. And I want to show the picture. Can we show the picture of her?
Where you see her face.
Yeah, where we can actually see her face. Do you have that
picture?
There
you go.
Right on. So this little girl has Down syndrome, and she needs to have a special day, just like anybody else has a special day. And look at how pretty her dress is. Guys, we're the ones that bought all these dresses, and we bought 153 of them.
Look at Brandy.
We're the one that bought all the princess crowns. We're the one that did that. Ben's got a nice-looking suit on, by the way.
Yes, look at that. Boots.
That I want to just grab his beard right now. Go, you're a good boy. I always go, kitty, 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 kitty. That's what he does. He's done this to me since he's a little boy. Kitty, kitty, kitty. I don't know why he does that. There's something not right with him. But anyway, we'll go back to his dancing picture here. Here he is, man, cutting a rug, doing the father-daughter dance with this beautiful 15-year-old little girl. And what a great privilege, man, to get to be in the ministry that we're in, to rescue kids and then to raise them and to treat them like queens and to love them and to respect them. Mm-hmm. And it's just beautiful.
Pastor Swamy said 1,200 guests attended this.
1,200 guests.
100.
Wait, so Pastor Swamy is the one who put this whole thing together. Yeah, there's my grandson. That's my grandson, Barrett.
Oh, my goodness.
And he is.
What a stud.
Yeah, man. And look at him. He's scared to death.
I know. At him. He looks great, though. He's scared to death.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it. I love it, man. I just absolutely love it. And that, of course, being a rescued little girl that is now 15 years old.
Yep.
And there she is. And, dude, she's a hobbit. I mean, she's just a little bitty thing, man. And so that whole room full of girls that we've rescued and that we're taking care of. And Pastor Swanamy did this thing yesterday.
Look at all
and
these,
look at them. They're all so gorgeous. They're all just beautiful. And their dresses are so amazing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, you're like, I don't know, Pastor Troy. I think that's over the top. I don't think that's necessary. Man, you don't know what you're talking about. You can't do too much for these kids.
Yep.
You just can't. And our rule is we're not going to treat any of our rescued kids any different than we would treat our own grandkids. Whatever their hopes and dreams are, whatever they need, that's what it is we have to do, no matter the cost.
Yeah.
And that's why whenever I come to you guys and say, hey, man, we really do need you guys to partner with us. And we do. We have tons of partners. You guys are killing it. You're helping us tremendously. We're doing it. I mean, yeah, we got over $4 million of projects that are not funded right now. So what? We don't care. You know what? We didn't have any of the money for any of the other projects either.
Yeah.
And the Lord provided. This is my 30th year of doing this. I have never had a year that we didn't have the money to be able to do what it is that God's called us to do. It just happens.
Yeah. Something with the quinceañeras that really hit me strongly. I think back to that one rescue, and I don't remember her name, but she, we went down there to throw her a quinceañera. And when they were walking down the street to take her to buy the dress, she started like shaking and crying. And I remember Pastor Swanamy, said, you know, what, why are you feeling so emotional? And they brought her to this store, to a window with the dresses inside. And she said, I used to walk by, this is the street that I worked.
Yeah.
And
I used to walk by. She was prostituted on that street.
This store. And she would look and see these dresses and probably imagine the opportunity that imagine, most kids yeah. have.
Imagine if I had a mama and a daddy and I wasn't a slave. At my age, they would be buying me this big, beautiful dress. And they would be having a party and they would celebrate me. And I would look beautiful. And it would be an amazing life. And Swanamy took her to that very store that she used to go by and look in the window and go, imagine what it would be like. And here she was going there to actually pick out a dress that Pastor Swanamy bought, that all of my partners bought. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Swanamy has my credit card. And I want to tell you, man, she will bust it out to you, man. Good God, she's worse than my kids, man. and to do that, and she was crying. And see, that was the Lord answering a prayer for her. She probably never even had the faith to pray. And the Lord saw that little girl and went, you keep dreaming, little girl. The day will come. You will see this dream come true. Amen. And it actually happened. So I can't say enough of how proud I am of Pastor Swanamy and how proud I am of Ben and Brandy and my two grand boys and my youngest grandson, Branch Allen Brewer. He had him a cool bow tie on. And he told me, he said, I asked him, I said, so brother, how do you like Mexico? Yeah, I think I'm probably going to move here.
Stop.
Oh, yeah. He's Branch? Like, I think, yeah. But he said, I'm probably going to, I'm going to learn Spanish. I'm probably going to move here.
I love him.
And,
why is he so cute?
This is what I'm going to do.
This is what I'm going to do. And how old is he again? He's like,
I think he's 11. I think 11? Yeah, maybe he's 10.
Yeah.
I think maybe he's 10. He's 10 years old.
I love what Jess and family says. You guys show all of us this and actually involve us. And it's so encouraging to know. Yeah. I think that's one of the things that really sets us apart. Like, guys, we share stuff as much as we can real time as it's happening, because you are a part of it. Like, we're asking you to sow into things and then you get to see the fruit. And that's really, really cool. And of course we share all we can. We wish we could share more. A lot of times these cases are still active when we talk about rescues or this child is rescued or that. We only share a tidbit of information because for the safety of the kids. And so we appreciate you guys having grace for us in that. We share as much as we can because we want to celebrate.
I know an 8-year-old little girl that we're fixing to rescue that I can't say anything about. I know a whole bunch of girls in a brothel in a country I cannot name that we are working with law enforcement, and our operators are fixing to bust the whole thing. I have seen I've seen all the surveillance videos. I've seen it. I've seen the girls in the window and we stopped it on the frame and we looked, and you could see these two Asian girls in the window, looking out the window to see who was coming in. And they're just kids.
Yeah.
And we stopped it and we prayed over them. Mm. And I mean, they're still in that slavery right this second.
Yeah.
And, hey, look, there's something in Spanish right there. Somebody wanting us to make a donation somewhere, but nonetheless, it's in Spanish. But man, the whole nine yards, and guys, we're doing this thing. I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. I'm leaving Sunday after church, and I'm literally meeting with the task force against human trafficking.
Yeah.
And we are looking to set a new policy that the same thing that Pastor Swanamy has set up in Mexico, where I work directly with the governors of the states, directly with the comandante, the police, directly with the attorney generals, directly with the prosecuting attorneys, and we provide this, 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 they do that, that, that. And then once they shut down the ring, they turn the children over to us, and then we actually raise them. We're trying to get that set up here within the United States, which means I'm going to need your help in building homes.
Yeah.
A whole lot more homes. And we're going to be needing a lot. And so, because the government of the United States is about to trust us with untold number of boys and girls that are being trafficked here, right here in the United States of America. We can show them where they're at. We can show them how to bust them. We can help them with those things, working with the law enforcement we need. And then they're licensing us, and then they're turning those kids over to us. So, guys, that's fixing to happen.
Awesome.
And then we have all these kids that are 18 and older, just like the 19-year-old little girl we just rescued.
Yeah. There was a 19-year-old girl that we rescued here in Texas, and we We shared a little bit about the story with you yesterday, and this is her. So wow. She was rescued. She was put into a safe home, but the problem is that these safe homes, they're not meant to be long-term. And what happens is the thugs and the drug dealers and the pimps literally wait outside the safe homes for the girls to be released after a week or whatever it might be. And they just scoop them up and they get them. And the girls are vulnerable. Maybe they've been coming off and drugs because they are probably forced from drugs.
Yeah, they're messed up.
All of the things.
They're totally messed up. Yep. And on top of that, they're terrified of these guys. Yeah.
So our operator, just to give you guys an idea of what we do, our operator, instead of just dropping her at the safe home saying she's rescued and she's good, he was bringing her meals. We were bringing her meals all week long and checking on her, monitoring her, in touch with her all week until we were able to get her placed in a long-term facility somewhere else far from here.
Yep.
So we actually did that. He messaged us this morning that they found a long-term place for her.
So she's in.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that.
So yeah.
That's amazing. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was so just this morning.
Yeah, so this is part of the hard work, guys, that we got to do to be able to rescue these girls. And I mean, guys, she's 19. She's 19, and she has been abused and trafficked and all the things. And she's going to need a lot of help to come out to get her body back into a physical condition to where, you know, she can finally get in a place to where she can make good decisions and breathe and live life like a normal human being. And guys, the body of Jesus, we're the guys that have to do this.
Yes.
And this is the role of Christians, and this is what we do. Mm-hmm. This is why you guys partner with us.
Yeah.
And this is why we do what it is that we do. So it's just awesome.
Awesome.
So lots more to it, man. Lots more to it. Hey, man, I want you guys to pray a bold prayer. Mm-hmm. I want y'all to pray that hundreds of millions of dollars will come to us and that we become one of those ministries that are in the hundreds of millions of dollars range so that we can effectively do everything that God Almighty is opening the door for us to do. And we have never got any kind of government funding ever. We have all mortgaged our homes and mortgaged our houses, and now we don't have to do that anymore because we have partners. And you know what? Pray, guys, that continues to grow and grow and grow, because this thing is real. And guys, we got to walk it all the way through, man. We got to walk it all the way through.
Yeah.
All right. What else is going on?
Well, listen, we got a lot going on within the church. And so I think we could kind of move into some of your reaction videos. We've got a bunch of clips to go through today.
Yep.
Some of Martin Cedro, who's going to be preaching here on Sunday. So just to give you guys a little taste of what you're going to be in for on Father's Day. But then also we've got some, we pulled some really good clips from your recent sermons. So you've been doing the series on the atomic family.
Yeah.
The nuclear family.
It's
I keep saying atomic, but it's kind of a similar, word.
It is.
But the nuclear family and just speaking to the importance of the family.
So Sunday I really hammered it.
Yeah.
I mean, I hammered it on Sunday and just said, no, I'm going to tell you guys the truth. And this is why. Because I gave all these statistics that I got from Dr. Ben Carson's office. And oh my gosh, man, like only 17% of all families, 17% of all families in the United States have a nuclear family structure. Wow. Only 17%.
That is so insane.
And then I went through like, okay, well, and then of course there were people who were mad at me over that. And hey, hang on a sec, guys. Oh. Look, Leanna's called me.
Answer it.
I tried to answer it.
Call her back.
I will. Let's call her back because it's her birthday.
This is her birthday.
Hang on a second, guys. Hang on.
She probably hung up because she realized what time it was and you were on the pulse.
I'm going to do it. Look, I'm going to do it. Hang on a second. And speaker.
Hello.
Oh, I love you so much.
Oh, I love you so much. I think I'm going to die.
I think I'm going to die. I love you so much. Hey, listen, I'm live on the pulse right now and the whole wide world, the whole wide world wants to tell you happy birthday today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes, happy birthday
to
you.
We've been talking about you.
Thank you.
The world is such a better place, man, with you in it.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful to be in this world.
Well, I'm grateful you're in my world. I'll sure do tell you that. I have people from all over they're typing happy birthday right now. They're typing it from all over the world.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we love you and we're proud of you. And are you going to come see me?
I am on my way there now.
Okay. I'll see you in a little bit. I love you, man.
All right. I love you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, mister.
Okay.
Bye, mister.
There it is right there. My gosh. I feel sorry for her. She's so smitten with me.
Okay.
Bless her heart.
Here we go.
It's all true. It's It's all true, man. Okay, what were we talking about?
Ben Carson. Ben Carson statistics, 17% of families do not have a nuclear family
structure,
which is crazy.
92% of everybody in prison does not come from a nuclear family structure. 92% of all school shootings, 92% of 56 studied school shootings happened by people who do not come from a nuclear family structure. And of the that 8%, over 90% of those people were transgender. So they have their own idea of what family should be.
Identity crisis. That's, we're facing an identity crisis of the family, of people. And now we're starting to see the results. Like, what we see in society to me is the overflow of that.
Yeah.
The result.
Yeah. So I started getting some heat going, well, you know, it's not my fault. You know, I'm a single, I'm not bashing single moms. I'm not bashing single dads. I'm telling you why we need to fight for nuclear family structures and for the building blocks of that within our own society.
Yeah.
Because it is detrimental to all of us, all of us, whenever that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And so we have some videos, and so tell me the first video we're gonna see.
So which one should we start with, Rebecca?
I think Why Family Matters.
Why Family Matters. Okay.
Is this Pastor Troy or Martin?
Pastor Troy.
Pastor Troy's. Okay. You got that one, Taylor?
We're talking about nuclear family.
Family over Jesus? Which one?
No.
No, Why Family Matters. So it's the first one.
So you guys just show me the first video.
Let's pull it up.
Just one of Troy's. They're both on the same subject.
Those building blocks, those fundamental building blocks are so important. Yep. And if you dismiss God's mandate for how a family should be, you just say, everybody can just choose their own building blocks. Everybody can just choose fundamentally what they decide a family should be and who their family is. No. Family is God's idea. And God is the one who defines it. And if we choose God's way, we will be blessed. And if we do not choose God's way, we will be cursed. And not only that, but we will be a curse to everybody else.
Okay, so Abraham actually said, God Almighty told Abraham that your seed shall be a blessing to all the earth. And so the blessing of God to the nations actually comes through family bloodlines. And this is why we got to get this thing right. Now, look, if somebody can drop a bomb into your genetics, if somebody can drop a bomb into your family bloodline, you can also drop Jesus into it. And it begins with the fear of the Lord. It begins with saying, okay, whatever my family structure is, we're gonna be full of the fear of God. We're going to respect God. We're going to be loyal to God. And we're going to do things God's way. Now, it's better if you decide, if a man and a woman decide, and I understand the arguments. Listen, when I preach my Father's Day message, I'm going to hammer guys and go, quit being a wuss. Just stop it and be the man that God Almighty has called you to be. Don't let these people neuter you and don't act like you're neutered. Don't sit around playing video games. Get up, get a job, be somebody that overcomes problems and lead. You cannot lead as a victim. Nobody follows a victim. Good. Nobody follows a victim. Well, nobody will give me a chance. Wah, wah. Oh, nobody loves me because of my race. Wah, wah. Somebody call me a wambulance. You know what? That's you saying, I refuse to be the leader that God Almighty has called me to be. And I choose to be in a state of paralysis because something bad has happened to me. I want to tell you something, cowboys. Something bad has happened to everybody. And if you don't have scars, you don't even qualify as a warrior. Okay. See, I'm starting to get riled up.
That's true. Right? That's so good though.
And so man, men have got to be men and men have got to be leaders, and people do not follow victims.
That's what I was just going to say. Out of everything you just said, that's what really hits me is like, man up.
Yeah. Man up. Let's go. Shazak is the Hebrew word for it. It means supernatural masculinity. There's actually a Hebrew word, Shazak. And if you go to King David's grave, it's actually on Shazak Street in Jerusalem. I told Leanna, look at this. It's on Shazak Street.
That's so cool.
I mean, supernatural masculinity. And so it's so important that men learn how to receive supernatural masculinity. But let me just stop and say, I'll talk about that more here in just a little bit. Okay. Yeah. In fact, I'll let Martin preach on it here. I got a clip. You know what? Let me just go ahead and show that clip.
Can Which I do one? That? The Matcha Boys?
Yeah. This is the guy that's going to be at church on Father's Day this coming Sunday. He's a good friend of mine. Brother's name is Martin. Watch this.
I feel sorry for the woman today. Men used to go to war, now we line up to get matcha drinks. Men used to wear their war outfits, now we wear skinny jeans and wax our legs. I'm sick of seeing women say, my husband is not leading me. I have to force my husband to come to church, force my husband to read the Bible. It is not the woman's role to lead the family, it is the man's role to lead the family.
Yes.
Your wife was never created to carry the load of being the leader of the house. God gave you the grace, God gave you the strength, and you can't abandon that responsibility. You're not the man because you got, you know, Adam's apple. You're the man because you lead your wife.
I'm a man, I'm gonna be a girl.
No, you're not a man, honey. You're a little boy stuck in a big man's body. And until you lead your wife, you are not a man. Until you bring your wife to church, you are not a man. Until you read with your wife, you are not a man. Until you fast for your wife, you are not a man. Matcha boys, lactose intolerant boys, you're spiritually lactose intolerant. That's what you are.
My favorite.
Okay, so Martin is my kind of preacher, and he gets riled up, and I love the brother. He's going to be here at Open Door Church, but he's also, too, giving a huge call to for men to be men. And, like, how old do you got to be before you're going to be grown up? How old do you got to be before you're no longer a victim? How old do you got to be until you can find simple solutions to complicated issues? Yesterday morning, my boy, Luke, got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, went and chased his horse, loaded him up on a trailer, put a saddle on him, drove into Hyco, Texas, got him out, got saddled up, got on his horse, and went out, and he dewormed over 500 cows. Okay? He did that yesterday. There's not very many men left on the planet who can actually do something like that. Because this whole rugged Western individualism thing has been turned over to the likes of AOC. And here's what I want to tell you this. It doesn't work. It backfires. And I want to tell you something, guys. So, ladies, y'all can just you can just stay out of this conversation here for a minute. I'm just going to talk to the guys. I want to tell you something. You act like a girl, your woman will hate you for it. Even though she demands you do it, she demands you do it. She wants you to be one of her homegirls that, you know, you're going to go do all the fun stuff that she does and you're going to act like her and whatever. I want to tell you something. Unless she's a lesbian, she's going to hate you for it. And she will turn on you. I promise you, she will turn on you in a heartbeat, because you will not be the man. And like, well, dude, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to tell her no? Yes, tell her no. And not only should you tell your wife no if she wants you to act feminine, you should tell her, this is how I'm supposed to act, and this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And lead her. Lead her. And let me tell you guys how you lead a woman. You make her secure. Her security is absolutely everything. So if you can't defend yourself in a fight, if you don't know how to shoot a gun, if you don't know how to lock your doors at night, if you don't know how to provide for her, if you don't know how to make her feel safe, if you don't know how to make her kids feel safe and loved and a part of the family, you ain't gonna lead that heifer. You ain't gonna lead her. And you can only lead her through making her feel secure. And guess who her security is supposed to be? It's supposed to be you, you joker. You're not supposed to be her emotional support and everything. You're supposed to be her leader. Oh, Pastor Troy, are you not Leanna's emotional support? No, I'm not. Like, whoa, you have to be her emotional support. No, I do not. I'm not a girl. No, I'm not. Am I there for her? Absolutely. Do I tell her I love her every day? Yes. Do I tell her she's pretty every day? Absolutely. Those are security issues. Those are not emotional issues. I say, listen, you are safe with me. You can trust me. I don't want anybody else. I only want you. I'm so happy I'm married to you. But I'm not going to try and understand a woman's emotions. I'm not interested in understanding a woman's emotions. I'm interested in understanding how can I make her secure and how can I lead her into a better place, because she wants me to be a good leader. The man of Leanna Brewer's dreams is a good leader. And so if I'm going to be a good husband, I have to be a good leader, which means I have to demonstrate good leadership. And if I'm going to demonstrate good leadership, it means I need to learn how to make sound choices and good decisions. And my wife needs to be able to count on me. Troy's going to make good decisions today. Troy's going to do that. Okay, well, that's a trust issue that is earned.
Yeah.
It's earned. And ladies, you guys are married. You guys are married to rock star husbands. I know both of y'all's husbands.
Yep.
They're both wildly independent. They both own their own businesses. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine being married to some of these knuckleheads that so many of these women that are watching have been married to, who have no vision, they have no drive, they have no get up and go, they can't solve problems. They're always a problem. Mm-hmm. They're never the solution of the problem. They're unstable in every single way.
Yeah.
And can you imagine having to deal with that kind of insecurity within your life?
Wow.
I can't. Whenever I talk to people who are like thinking about, you know, dating, is this the person I should marry and things like that? Listen, having the attraction and all the warm, fuzzy feelings, that's great. But can you trust your man to lead? And for me, that was my biggest thing. And I mean, I said it to Joel today. We had some decisions coming up for some stuff just with family vacation and when we should, the best time to go and this and that and all this stuff. And he's like, what would you prefer this? And I said, you know what? I'm like, babe, you make the best decisions for our family. I trust you, whatever you think. And to me, that is such a load off knowing that, like, I could tell you right now, any big decision that our family face, whether it's a house, whether it's a move, whether it's whatever, I have 2000% trust in Joel to make that decision, whether I'm in the room or not, whether I'm in the state or not, whether I'm in the conversation or not. Like that to me, that is the most important thing. If you marry someone and you don't have that assurance, that's a problem. Because then to me, I wouldn't respect someone if I didn't feel... And then it's a cyclical thing because men need respect. That's what they need from women.
From a woman.
And so
I'm going to tell you, in my 40s, okay, I've gone through these revolutionary things in my marriage, in my walk with Jesus. There's been redefining moments over and over and over again in just a constant forward progression of just trying to be a better man. I just want to just be a better man. Mm-hmm. I was telling you girls this morning, I've always wanted a great marriage. And people that have good marriages want a good marriage.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's something that you actually fight for.
You don't just get it.
But there's never been a time in my life that I have wanted to be a better man than right now for Leanna. Never. Mm-hmm. And just like, I'm just so appreciative of her. She's just such a good girl. She just like, man. So I'm like constantly going, I wonder what I could do, how I could be, what I need to shift, what I need to change. And I'm constantly, I've always thought that, but not at the level that I am right now, right? Yeah. Okay. And we're in a stage now that we don't have kids in the house.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now that, you know, we're in a stage now where we can really laser in on what works for us and what doesn't work for us.
That's good.
And whereas before, you got lots of things that don't really work for us, but they're necessary because of this, because of that, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. I mean, man, at one time, all four of our kids were in four different schools, and we had one freaking car.
That's a full-time job.
And one of them was in downtown Fort Worth, one of them was in Cleburne, one of them was in Burleson, and one of them was in Crowley.
Wow.
And I mean, we, for years, you know, we had to take all four of our kids to different schools and do all, well, there was a tons of stuff, man, that didn't really work for our marriage, but they worked for our house. Mm-hmm. But now that our house is different, I can laser focus on so many different things that I just go, you know what? This would be better for us. Yeah. And I can just make decisions that are, these are good decisions for us. And I want to tell you, man, when I make those decisions, and when I bring a big decision like that, she loves me and she respects me even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one of the big revolutionary things I went through was up until the time I was in my early 40s, all the finances and everything, I just turned over to Leanna. I'm not a money guy. I'm not going to mess with money. You pay the bills. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much money you spend. Just pay the bills. Wow. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. And I thought that that was me being a good husband. Mm. And I realized one day, she didn't sign up for that. She didn't ask for that. She just has to do it because she can't trust me to do it. And as soon as I got it, she does that because she can't trust me to do it. I went, oh no.
Wow.
I'm about to become the financial king of the universe. I'm going to learn everything there is about finances. And consequently, when I got in my 50s, God blessed me financially. If I had not stepped up for Leanna and became a big steward with our money and with our finances and taken that burden off of her and went, I mean, I literally went to her and I repented and I said, I shouldn't have done that. And I didn't know that until just now. And I'm so sorry for the private hell that you've had and going through our wreck of a finances because I couldn't make good financial decisions or figure out how to make money.
Wow.
Oh, I figured it out since then. But I had to literally, and I told her, she's like, no, I got this. And I said, no, ma'am, you do not. I'm taking it over. I'm taking it all over. I'm paying the bills. I'm doing the stuff from this day forward. It's over.
So good.
And like, okay. And like, I'm sorry I left. I'm sorry I made you the leader of making all those terrible decisions and trying to figure it out. I thought I was being a good husband. And I didn't realize. No, the only time I'm being a good husband is when I'm leading her into a better place of strength.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's true.
That's so good. Yeah.
All right. Well, I see we got all kinds of comments on here, man. You guys look through those comments. And if y'all have a question, if you'll type up the question and do a whole bunch of question marks, we'll get to those things. And if you guys have a comment that you want me to actually see in the midst of the hundreds and hundreds, put a whole bunch of explanation points by it. Okay. And do that. Okay. I got another video here. So what's the next one we're going to see?
Yeah.
The parenting.
Yeah. Let's do Martin Sedra's parenting.
So who is
it's Martin Sedra talking about parenting.
Martin Sedra, who's going to be with us this coming Sunday on Father's Day. Here he is talking about parenting.
So the dad says, we're going to church. No, dad, I'm not coming. And the parent's like, okay, baby, I'll get on your level because you're tired today. Oh, you oopsie whoopsie. You had a big day. Oopsie whoopsie. You don't want to come to church, baby? You don't want to come to church? This is an issue with a lot of parents. It's that you flip the role. The man's role is to command. The mom teaches and the kid obeys. Guess what happens now in the West? The kid commands and the mom and the dad obey. Every family, when we're praying, you pack your bag and you come. The church is praying. Well, I'm going to grab my wife. I'm going to put her on my back if she's too tired. And I'm going to run to the house of God to pray.
Okay, the reason why kids are commanding and parents are obeying is because, once again, dads are not on the scene. Mm. That's a daddy issue. So here's what happens when the mama has to run everything. The mama has this dual responsibility of having to be the mom and the dad to the child, but also as a mama, she needs to be the mama. She needs to be there for her kids. She needs to tend to her kids' needs. And then what happens is kids pick that up and there becomes a construct within the home where the kids start telling the mom what to do and how to do it. And she gets so beat up. She does it because she's not secure and she's not supported. And it's like, whoa. I think you're just stereotyping everything. I think your 26 stupid genders has screwed all that up, is what I think. And you don't understand the difference between a man and a woman. There is a difference. There's supposed to be a difference between a man and a woman. And a woman needs a man on the scene, or else it is so difficult for her. And not a man that's a train wreck, not a man that is more maintenance than the kids are. Not a man that is more unstable than the four-year-old in the house. Men have got to get their crap together and be the men that God Almighty has created them to be for their wives, for their families, and for the generations behind them. The Word of God says that it is that the iniquity of the fathers is passed down to the fourth generation. And you might be looking at that going, what kind of a God is God that he would put a curse on three or four generations after? No, it's not God. It's the man that did that. Mm. The man has the authority for his seed to be a blessing or for his seed to be a curse. And we're not talking about the transgressions of the fathers. The transgressions of the fathers, the outward sins that he commits, is not passed down to the fourth generation. It's the iniquities. It's the inside things he never deals with. Those are the things that is left to the next generation to deal with, or the next generation, or the next generation. That's not on God. That is on the man being the man in the house. Well, and I just can't tell you enough how important it is for men to be men and to support women and to support their kids and to be stable and be able to be counted upon that they're going to make good decisions and they're going to make right choices.
Justin Family says, wow, I feel like you're preaching my entire past minus the last 4 years.
Hallelujah.
That's
Yeah. Well, we're all a big time work in progress. Yeah, we are. And I you need to hear me say this, man. I am not a perfect dad. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm not perfect anything. With that said, I'm going after it. And I've always been going after it. And that's a big part of faithfulness is just you just continue to go after it. So you got tons of comments, tons of questions.
So we have Melissa, man and wife in trauma bonds and working from fear make terrible parents in these days.
Yep, exactly right.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's listen, you're together because of your covenant, not because of your trauma bonds.
Yep.
That's not how you guys relate.
Yeah.
If you relate through trauma bonds, if you do that. So one of the things I see, ladies, that happens all the time, and this is why our young people have to be brought up in a construct of stability, okay, which is why I'm going to tell you this. Listen, you can have a stable home, and you turn your kids over to a phone, all of that instability is going to come into their life, even though you have a nuclear family set up. Don't turn the phone over to your kids. Your kids will tell you, you can trust me. No, you cannot. And you cannot trust what's on that phone. You cannot. Don't do it. I'm just telling you, say no. Like, but every other kid, they all got phones, so my kids feel left out. Teach them how to thrive in a feeling of being left out because they're going to feel that their whole entire life in all kinds of scenarios. So train them. Okay, well, this is how you act when you feel left out.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello. Imagine that. Imagine actually training your children and equipping them, because the day is going to come, mom, dad, you will launch them. You will. And by the way, that doesn't need to be when they're 30 and they sit around eating hot pockets and just doom scrolling and acting a fool. Okay. Then teach these kids, teach them how to be launched and how to be effective and how to deal with the world that they got to live in.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Aggie.
Come here. Come over here and have a seat for a minute. Guys, Leanna just came in here, the birthday girl. She just now came in.
She has a special package with her.
That's exactly right.
And he's really
cute.
Is the baby.
Is also, too, Mr. Augie. He is here with us today.
Augie boy.
Man, we're so happy to see you today.
Yeah.
What are you up to? Just woke up. Just
now woke up. Hi, baby.
Yeah, he's such a good boy. Mike. What are you eating over there?
Are you eating chocolate, Augie?
Man, your mom better not find out.
Hi, baby.
So what did you go do for lunch?
I went to a place over in Clear Fork.
Yeah?
Which place?
Our favorite place.
Plank? B&B Butcher?
No.
Neiman Marcus?
City.
Oh, City Works.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Uh-huh. Right there.
Yeah.
I have good pork chops.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Yum. I hadn't been there before.
Oh, we're talking about men and women, and we're talking about the nuclear family, and we're talking about all these different kinds of things.
Yes.
So look here. There are things. So we're talking about the importance of how you need a man that you can count on to make good decisions.
100%.
And most guys don't even know how to make decisions. No, I'm serious. It's one of the key things I deal with pastors all over the planet Earth is they do not know how to make good decisions. They don't know how. And it's like the reason why the body of Christ is not thriving is because they're led by leaders that don't even know how to make good decisions.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that I train is you got to learn how to make good decisions. But you have to be able to count on me to make good decisions and to be stable, and you set me up to be stable. You truly are my helpmate. I tell the girls how that every morning you get all dolled up and you make my coffee, and we said you're setting me up for stability that day, right?
Absolutely. You know, we all have to do our part. It's not lesser or more. It's we all have our own roles. We all have our own parts, and God designed us that way. And if we'll do our part, then it all works. You know, I can't do what you do. I don't want to do what you do.
Yeah.
I don't want to be you. I am very happy being me. And I like doing what God created me to do.
Absolutely.
Monica Bueller says, hey, Leanna, our daughter is 5 months old, and we named her Leanna because of you.
Aw, thank you.
They live in Paraguay.
I need to come to Paraguay.
Yeah, man. I've never been to Paraguay.
Yeah, I haven't either. Wow.
Well, we love you, Monica.
I need to go meet her.
Yeah, man.
Aww,
that's pretty daggum
really cool.
Thank you.
That is pretty daggum cool. It sure is, man. Well, thanks for coming in and saying hi to me.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday to you. Sure do love you.
Thank you. I love you.
Yeah, are you having a good... What is all that?
Chocolate.
Chocolate.
It's okay.
Oh.
You got a chocolate
Chocolate Taylor.
A chocolate
Mike. Augie. I love you, Augie.
Hi, baby.
He's a good
Isn't
boy.
Isn't he adorable?
He's adorable.
He's so good.
He's just a smiley, happy guy.
We had a fun day.
I'm glad you guys have had a good day together. All right, well, let's go off into another video here. Oh, my gosh. Let's go off into
it. His face looking at me.
Look at that face.
I love you. Yeah, you're sweet.
Don't trust her. She's bad.
You're sweet.
His little eyes.
She owes everybody money. She owes everybody money, Augie.
Look at him. Look at his face.
All right, let's go to another video and let's watch it. Here we go.
Troy's.
So this is one of you, Pastor.
And you're probably not going to like what I'm going to tell you.
Okay, here we go.
If you love your family more than you love me, you have no part in me.
How about them apples?
Okay, I got this kid, man, and he's decided to become a Muslim, and now he's saying death to America, and he's chanting a jihad. In order for me to support him, I need to become a Muslim. I need to support. I need to support a jihad. Are you kidding me? You would literally commit treason against your country, against your family, and against your God and say, actually, I'm just supporting somebody I love. No, you're weak, and you're lazy, and you're wicked. All right, Pastor Troy, that is a terrible thing to say. Yes, in the midst of the brainwashed culture that we live in, that comes from your media, it comes from your government, it comes from your schools, but it does not come from Jesus.
It does not come from Jesus. Wow. So one of the big things, like families have to make terrible decisions today, not because mm-hmm. they're terrible, but because of their selfish family members, where a boy will marry a boy or a girl will marry a girl, and they'll say, you have to come to my wedding, you have to support me. No. Well, then you don't love me. You're making a stand against me. No. You are the one that is wicked. I'm not. You're the one that is being a part of this terrible behavior. And just because I love you does not mean in any way whatsoever that I should endorse your wicked behavior. I love Jesus more. And my first loyalty is to King Jesus. And that's the fact, Jack. I said, well, but I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to do it. I know what to do. Put your foot down. Mm-hmm. And because you didn't do that when they were little, now they're out acting a fool as adults. Mm-hmm. And do it. There comes a time where you need to put your foot down and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if you're not going to do that, that's on you. I always have a place for you when you are ready to stop your filthy and your stupid behavior that is destructive to even to our relationship. That's your choice. That's not my choice. You're the one that's done that. And I have been invited to so many weddings that were not godly weddings.
Yeah.
Well, would you just come just because we want people to know that we love you and you love us? Well, then you come to my house and let's all worship Jesus together. I'm not going to go to your house and make a covenant with the mm-hmm. devil. That's not how I show you I love you. Oh, wow. That's a big wow. Jesus says, unless you love me more than you love your mother, your brothers, your sisters, all those people, he says, you have no part of me. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And not because all of those people don't matter and should be right, but because you have to have your priorities in order.
Which is the fear of the Lord.
Building blocks, as you were saying in the first one. Good.
If you have no fear of the Lord, your house is not serving God.
Yep.
And you can say, no, we are, because we're showing emotional support and we're marching in their gay parade. Listen, you do not join the enemies of God and call that the love of God.
Yeah.
That is not what that is. And while that might work in your Oprah club, and while that might work, you know, with you and The View, it doesn't work in the courts of heaven. And man, you got to know what the word of God is. And like, well, Dad, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can do that because I love this person and I support this person. And I grant you, it's hard. It's especially going to be hard on you ladies that do not have a man supporting you in that.
Yep.
Mm. It's especially, but I'm surprised at how many men that their wives will tell them they have to, and they just, oh, they don't want any trouble with their wife. Oh.
What?
Well, don't even get me started.
I know.
Come on.
Someone I wanted to respond to.
So I'm like, no, I want to say this. You will have trouble in all your house if you do not serve the Lord. And your wife might be mad, but your wife is just going through something. She's in a stage. You don't need to go through the same mess she's going through. Make a stand, love your wife, and lovingly tell her, no, ma'am, I'm not going to be a part of that, and I don't want you to be a part of that. And just look at the spirit of division and hatefulness that comes from their demonic activity. And let's not be a part of that. Mm-hmm. No.
Somebody said, what do you do when you don't have trust in your man?
Yeah.
Well, if you're not married, you shouldn't be with him.
Yep.
If you don't have trust in him, then if you're married, the situation is different for you.
I want to just tell you this. I don't know what it's like for you. I really don't. I am really blessed, and I don't mean to preach from an ivory tower at all. And again, our family's not perfect. And again, we have a blended family as well. And we've had all kinds of challenges. We continue to have challenges like every other family. These things are normal mm-hmm. with families. They're normal. The idea that everything has to go perfect in family for it to be family is ridiculous. That's not how it works. It just doesn't work like that. So, but I can tell you this. I would pray and believe God. I would ask the Lord, God, you have to speak to this man about this issue. And I would pray into that every single day. And I would trust the Lord to talk to him. Secondly, when there comes a time that you can speak to him, tell him that you desperately want to trust him in this issue. Mm-hmm. Tell him, just say, I want to trust you in this. I love you and I want to trust you in this. Help me trust you in this. And you know, how can I, you don't got to be accusatory. You don't got to any of those. Just tell him, I want so bad to trust you in this. And then tell him, you need to communicate to me. I am built as a woman. This is what you say. Yeah. I am built to be an emotional, a physical, a spiritual receiver. That's how I'm made. I am physically, emotionally, and spiritually made to be a receiver. That means you have to speak to me. You have to communicate to me and tell me how I can trust you in this. Yeah. And I tell guys a whole lot. I tell them, I say, guys, it's amazing what your wife will put up with if she has hope that you're going to get better.
Yeah, hope.
And you have to communicate hope to her. Hey, I'm working on this. I'm believing God for that. I'm trying to get help with this. I made these steps. I'm conscious of this. You know, one time about 2 years ago, Leanna's heart was broken over a family issue. And she kind of took it out on me. And I would say this if she was still sitting here next to me, but I deserved it. I was not helping the problem. Mm-hmm. I'll just put it that way. I wasn't helping the problem in any way. And I didn't care. And I decided to care real quick when I saw how upset she was. And she was telling me what she thought, and she was mad, and she was upset. And I just was sitting there, and I was listening to her. And I wanted to bow up. I wanted to get mad. And I just saw how broken she was. And I said, let me tell you how this is going to go. And I just put my hand out. I said, I want to tell you how it's going to go. It's going to go the way it's always gone. I'm going to think about what you said. And things are going to hit. And I'm going to change it. I'm going to be a part of the solution instead of being a part of the problem. Mm-hmm. I said, have hope that that's what's going to happen. I'm not there yet. But have hope that that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And she got real quiet. And she thought about our history. She thought about my history with God. She thought about her history with me and went, okay, I can hope in that because that has happened before. And it was just a moment of wisdom came on me to tell her how to have mm-hmm. hope in a situation of something that she was mad that I hadn't fixed and that I had actually been a part of the problem of. And instead of making it better, I made it worse every time I was involved in it. I said stuff I shouldn't have said. Mm-hmm. I acted a certain way. I was passive aggressive about it. And I went, dude, I'm not fixing the problem. She needs me to fix this problem. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't even considered it was my role to fix that problem until that second. I said, let me tell you how this is going to go. I'm going to think about what you said. I'm going to pray about it. And then I'm going to get with the program. That's how this is going to go. And she just went, okay. And she turned around and walked off. She's like, I need to quit talking.
Yeah.
And because she's mature mm-hmm. and she's smart.
Yeah.
And I went, God, now I'm committed. I have got to think about what she said and I mm-hmm. got to figure out a way to fix this. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to fix it because in my view, it wasn't my problem. But the fact that I was not fixing the problem mm-hmm. for her was a problem.
Yeah. Wow.
It's just real, man.
We have one more question from History Time 38. Where do single men meet women like this? That's okay. Yeah. I would say wherever you get plugged in there, because that's where you're going to find like-minded people. You're going to find people of this tribe at Open Door Church, you know?
I want you guys to think about this. In your pursuit of godliness, God brought your husbands to you.
Yeah.
Me in my pursuit of godliness, God brought my wife to me.
Yeah.
Wow. And I want to just tell you this. That's what he did with Adam. He brought the woman to him.
Yeah.
And the idea that you got to go out looking
and find,
in crazy places, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. Man, you pursue the Lord, you pursue the kingdom.
Pursue the Lord.
And in the midst of pursuing the Lord, I mean, you met your husband because of ministry. Mm-hmm. You met your husband because of ministry. I met my wife because of ministry. And and the Lord brought these girls to their husbands. God brought Leanna to me.
Good.
And you got to believe, man, that that's what the Lord is going to do. He's not going to leave you out, man. He's not going to leave you out. He wants you married. He wants you stable. He wants you satisfied. He wants you happy. He wants those things for you even more than you do. So you pursue righteousness. You pursue the kingdom. You get actively involved in whatever company of godly people that you can find. And the Lord will bring that woman to you. You watch.
Ashton Carter says she met her hubby, Jonathan Carter, here. They're both on our team. And they met here at Open Door Church. So, yeah.
I love that.
History Time says I looked at all the wrong places. Well,
of
course. Listen, now you can look in the right ones.
Yeah, now you can look in the right ones.
You can start over.
And then, I mean, like, I know it sounds silly to say, well, just go to church, you know, and find you a godly community. It's not silly.
Yeah.
Find you a godly community of believers that you can live life with.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, those godly people all know a godly woman that they want to see hooked up with a godly man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They all do.
And honestly, think in terms of people that are like-minded. Like, if, to be honest, I've thought about this because I've told this to some of my friends. I'm like, if you see the demographic of people that go to these Turning Point USA conventions, they're young. They're all like family first, Bible believing. Go to those things.
Yeah.
Like, think about the type of people, the type of man you want, the type of woman you want, and surround yourself. Get plugged in at a church that has a great pastor that you respect, because you attract what you surround yourself with. It's like a cycle. It's a circle. And so it's like people who are of your tribe, Pastor Troy, are going to be drawn to you. And so if you're watching and you're like, man, that's my tribe, well, find a pastor like Pastor Troy or come here to Open Door and you'll find like-minded people here. So I think it's really important to look, because people will say, well, I don't know. I don't know anyone that I could potentially. I'm like, well, who are you hanging out with?
Yeah.
Who's your circle? What are you doing in your spare time? Where are you spending it? Are you spending it at the bar? Are you spending it at the club? Are you spending it with people who are bringing you down?
Yeah.
Because that's not where you're going to find this type of spouse that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, man. No, man. The people that you hang out with and do life with is a really big
very
deal.
Important.
It's a really big deal. And I can't even tell you what a big deal that is.
I gave advice to one of my friends. I'm laughing because I love Dylan. She says, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness and all these things will come. I think instead of looking, I think it's a great time for you to fall in love with Jesus more and more and more. And when you stop looking, you will get in what you pray for. And I told her, just start seeking the Lord in a whole deeper way. By the time you know it, the Lord will answer your prayer. You're so in love with Jesus, you're going to be able to love your partner in a whole another way, and you'll be ready. Sometimes we think we're ready, but we're not. And God is seeking for a deeper relationship with us. And we're looking at it for shopping, money, things. But no, he's like, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to fall in love with you. Seek him first.
That's
and
right.
Then all the things will fall into place.
So listen, you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
If I was a single dude, I want to tell you what I would be doing. Besides all the things that we just now said, okay? I would be sowing into being an awesome husband before I ever met her.
Yep. Amen.
That's good.
I would be preparing myself for that woman that I hadn't met yet, that King Jesus would bring to me.
That's good.
I would be, because that godly woman needs a man that doesn't look at porn. That godly woman needs a man that isn't sexually out of his tree and he's secure in himself,
Amen.
And he doesn't act a fool. that godly woman needs a man that knows how to make money and is not afraid to manage money. Wow. Yeah. That godly man needs a man who has an everyday walk with King Jesus in every single part of his life. That godly man, that godly woman needs a man that knows how to see his history in a way that is a blessing and predict his own future in a way that it will certainly be blessed. I would sow in, because listen, you reap what you sow, and I would sow off into it. I'll tell you right now, one of the things that I tell guys to do is I tell guys, I have a good friend of mine. He's on my security team, and he travels with me, and he does this crazy thing. He was a special operator in Afghanistan. He is a stud. He's super good looking. He's chiseled, all this kind of stuff. He literally, because he wants to get married, he joined a group that has made a vow. We will have no sexual activity until we are married. And they are doing that as unto the Lord. And they talk about it. And these guys, and it's difficult for them. They're young men. They've been in the world. They've been sexually active before. But they're like, no, this is a vow I'm making to God because of the woman that I'm trusting God to bring to me. Yeah. I want to be able to say to her, from the time I got saved, I waited for you. And I didn't know you, but I already loved you. And another thing that he does is he constantly writes her letters.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I love that.
He writes her letters. That's cool. And he's got a journal. And when he starts getting lonely and when he starts thinking, man, I really wish I was married, he will literally start writing letters going, I've thought about you all day long today, and I can't wait until we're together. So in putting myself together for you, I literally prayed this prayer over you today. I prayed that prayer over you. You can always count on me to pray for you. Love you, your husband, yada, yada. He doesn't even know who the heck he's writing to.
Wow. That's really cool. Come on.
The day that he gets engaged and asks her to marry her, he's going to present all of his letters to her.
So we got to find him a good lady.
We have a comment from there, Azuzan3353. You need to be so in love with Jesus that whoever wants to be with you will have to find him first.
That's really good.
That's amazing.
I love that.
That's good. That's really good.
Really good.
And somebody wrote, lovely. She's like, I'm 70-year-old widow. I'll be moving to Burleson, Texas. I'm seriously considering to find myself a man.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
Hey.
Well,
Harry?
Sister. I want to tell you, you still have a lot to offer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I honestly do not know why a woman would get remarried, though. I know why a man would get remarried, but I don't know why a woman would get remarried. It blows my mind that these women, because darling, you had to raise your kids, then you had to raise your husband at the same exact time, and to sign up for that again is, man, you're braver than I am. That's amazing.
This has been so good.
Many comments.
Yeah, so Texas Notary Lady says, I think marriage is ministry. I do too.
Yeah.
And I preach that. Marriage is ministry. And since me and Leanna are considered one body, that means that there is a spirit in our marriage.
Yeah. Wow.
That is for our marriage.
Yep.
And that spirit is either a blessing or that spirit is a curse. And I want it to be a blessing.
Amen.
Okay, well, I think we're just about done. Yeah. I got an interview in 10 minutes from now.
Yes, you do.
And I need a coffee up.
I think. Okay, that's funny because we were just asking. Ann just asked, does Pastor Troy want a coffee? We're like, ask him in a second.
Ann,
he does.
I sure love you.
Yeah. Thank you, Ann. Pastor Troy wants a coffee. And listen, hey guys, if you're one of our YouTube members, then stay tuned because Pastor, you want to do like a behind the scenes video for just our members when you do your interview in a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
All right, guys. So if you're not a YouTube member,
join
us right now.
Go there and sign up. Go there and sign up. I think it's $4.99 a month.
Yeah. I think $4.99 a month. Really easy, guys. And you'll have...
You're like, well, that doesn't make a difference. It does make a difference.
Yeah, it does.
It does. And so we have almost 700 members. Mm-hmm. So that's like $2,000 a month. That goes straight into Answer International. It doesn't come to me. It's just another small income generator. Mm-hmm. And it was something that the Lord spoke to me. The Lord told me when I turned 50 years old, he told me when I was in my 40s and I took over all the finances of my house and I started getting financially responsible for the house, the Lord told me, Troy, you need to have at least 5 income streams. And I went, I can't have no 5 income streams. And by the end of the year, I had 5 income streams.
Wow.
By the end of the year. Okay, I have more than a dozen income streams now. So I have somewhere around 14, 15 income streams. And they just trickle in, but... I'm the same way in ministry. I do the same exact thing as far as ministry is concerned. We have so many different income streams so that I don't have to be begging people for money all the time, because I'm not going to do that. I mean, you know me, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to. So we have lots and lots and lots of revenue generators to support our ministries, and lots and lots and lots of different ways that people can actually partner with us. And that's why we have three different stages at ODX that is behind a payment wall. You decide what works for you. And then we have on YouTube, we have this thing generates thousands of dollars a month, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And awesome. just on YouTube, I think that, oh, and again, all the money doesn't go to me. It goes straight into, our rescue account is what it goes into.
Yeah.
But I think just YouTube and through YouTube and Facebook and our monetization things, it's something like 20-something grand a month.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So it's like, dude, no, man, you gotta get smart about those things. Be real and be honest about it. Be impotent to the whore of money. And just go, no, I'm not going to be enticed by money. I'm going to be driven to accomplish vision for King Jesus and create revenues and income streams for those things. So join us over there, awesome. Man. Double Dog Dare, you guys to do it.
Yeah, well, thank you, guys. And don't forget, tonight, 7 p.m., we have Pastor Fred Price Jr., who's going to be preaching.
Pastor he's going to be with me.
Yeah, yeah, he's also going to be here as well. It's going to be such a good night tonight, guys. We can't wait to see you there. And then Sunday, Father's Day, Martin Sedra is going to be joining you here. It's going to be a celebration of dads. So you do not want to miss it. If you can get here in person, amazing. If not, you can join us at 9 a.m., 11:30 a.m., it's going to be so, so great. So happy Father's Day to all the dads, and we're celebrating you all week. So yeah.
All right, guys.
All right, guys.
Listen, I love you so much, and I call you guys blessed. I hope to see you here at Open Door Church tonight. And I don't know, just love you. Guys, be in prayer for us as we are rescuing so many kids, and we got so many things in the works. Oh my gosh. Yeah, a lot, I promise you. All right, guys, go with King Jesus. Be fruitful. Be fruitful in Jesus' name. God bless you, everybody. Bye-bye.